Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. And to those of you who are listening for the very first time, thanks so much for joining in today. I'm always grateful to hear from everyone and our new listeners. I just wish I could meet all of you and truly express how grateful I am for you. Your faithfulness to show up and love the hurting again today is a living, breathing example of our Lord Jesus. And, you know, as the body of Christ, we've talked about so many things here on the podcast over these 3 years, but there are so many ways that we can show up and be the hands and feet of Jesus in this broken world and continue to wrap care around those who are struggling, those who just need someone to come alongside them through a rough season. And we've all had them. And today I just want to share another beautiful way of offering practical help to a young soul in need. So let me introduce to you Amy Ford. Now, you may recognize Amy's name from a ministry called Embrace Grace, which is incredible. And I'm so thrilled to share more about that. But there is so much more on the horizon with Amy Ford. So welcome, Amy. We're so excited to hear from you today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited too.
Well, so how's life in Texas right now? All of our worlds are so different in Texas with four kids.
Well, we're kind of a little bit more COVID open, than a lot of the other states, but everything is going good and we're staying safe and we love Texas. It's pretty awesome here.
Well, we lived there for a while and I love it too. So we lived in the Fort Worth area and I felt so at home. I loved it. Well, I'm so honored to share your new book that just came out, Help Her Be Brave. And I guess what I love about it, Amy, is you're so transparent. I know it came from a very personal place that started a long time ago. So would you just share with our listeners how this journey began for you?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a Christian home, and I ended up having an unplanned pregnancy. I went to a Christian school, went to church every week, but I didn't really have a relationship with the Lord. And so I ended up finding myself pregnant, and I was terrified. I was terrified to tell my parents. I was only 19 years old. Mm. And even though I grew up in a Christian home and always even would stand outside abortion clinics with my family when I was really little, kind of before I even really knew what I was doing out there, I just always knew abortion was wrong. But in that moment, I was so scared for my future. Fear lies to you, you know, and you think of the worst case scenarios, like I'm going to be homeless. My parents are going to hate me. All of these terrible things go through your mind. And so me and the father of the baby just thought, you know what, we'll just have an abortion and we'll deal with the consequences of a broken heart later. And so we ended up scheduling the appointment, paying for the abortion. And when I went in to have the procedure done, they started explaining to me what all they're going to do. And I ended up hyperventilating and passing out in the abortion room.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And so when I came to, the nurses were fanning me, trying to give me a drink of water. And they said, you're just too emotionally distraught to make this decision today. You can come back another day, but today you're not having an abortion. And so I went back out in the waiting room, and the father of the baby, he was kind of my high school sweetheart, and we had been together for a long time. I looked at him and he could tell my face was so swollen from crying. And I just said, you know, we're still pregnant. And we just decided in that moment, okay, like if we're going to be homeless, all of those terrible things that we thought would happen, we just decided, let's just see what happens. And so we told our family it wasn't as bad as we thought it would be. Of course, they were disappointed in the timing and all of that. But, no one hated us or anything like that. But we decided to get married when I was 16 weeks pregnant because we had been together for so long. And the man that had led my husband to the Lord years before and someone that my husband really looked up to a lot, we asked him if he would marry us. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't marry you. I can't bless this marriage because you sinned. And so I will not marry you.
Oh.
And we just felt like a scarlet letter on our wedding day. You know, we felt so much shame. We were young. We didn't really know better. We just thought we're terrible people, you know, and we found someone else that would marry us, but it was just a hard time and a hard season. And even going back to church after that, I knew I'm a very extrovert person and I have a lot of friends, but all of these friends, it's like people don't know whether to say congratulations or I'm sorry. So they don't say anything and you feel alone in a crowd of people. And they just kind of distance away. So we just didn't really like the way we felt. And so we stopped going for a really long time and just kind of a season of loneliness, even as I had my son, and which is totally amazing. He now is 22 years old and he just graduated from Oral Roberts University with theology degree, and he's out speaking and sharing his story. He just got married in July. Like, he's so amazing.
My
and I
goodness.
Can't imagine.
That's incredible.
My life without him.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And even just after whenever Jess was just a couple years old, that pastor that wouldn't marry us, he called us out of the blue. He called my husband and he asked for forgiveness. He said that he felt like it was his worst mistake in pastoring history that he had ever made. Will you please forgive me? And my husband was like, yes, of course. And that pastor is a pastor in Austin, Texas. And even to this day, him and my husband are like best friends. They talk all the time. And God really restored that relationship. And when my son Jess was 16, that pastor asked me to come speak at his church about pro-love and what we do and embrace grace. And he was very open with this congregation before I had even gotten there about, you know, what he had done years before. He said he had a Pharisee heart and religious spirit. And he was just very open with them. And so I came, I spoke, I did my thing. And afterwards he said, Amy, I would love for you to come back on stage. And I would love your son, Jess, to come on stage. And he said, Amy, years ago, I asked your husband for forgiveness, but I never really asked you, will you forgive me for what I did? I was like, of course, yes. Like, look at this ministry and embrace grace that has blossomed since then. And well, then he looked at my son, 16, in front of the whole church, and he said, will you forgive me for planting seeds of rejection in your heart before you were ever even born? And while you were in your mother's womb, I rejected you. Will you forgive me? And my son, 16, in front of the whole church, says, I forgive you. And it was such a powerful moment in that room. Like, you could feel church wounds being lifted, and the fact that the pastor would be so vulnerable in that way and humble, it was just beautiful. And so all of this really has just sparked my heart to really know and understand the value and importance of what the church can play a powerful role in helping women feel empowered and to be brave and be able to choose life and make a life decision. I wish that I would have felt comfortable enough to go to the church and ask for help. But unfortunately, in that time, it was the last place I wanted to go to. So that's what really we want Embrace Grace to do.
Well, and help her be brave. I love how you not only focus on the preciousness of the life in the womb, but you give great attention to the sometimes overwhelmed, I'd say many times, afraid young woman who's struggling with what is my next step. Just like you guys, you were like, we don't want to tell our parents. So you went on and paid for an abortion, even though you knew that went against everything you believed.
And right. So, I mean, if you look at all the reasons why women have abortions, fear is the root.
Right.
So it could be fear of being alone, fear of my parents hating me, fear of baby dad being upset, fear of school education being messed up, you know, whatever fear. So if we can help her be brave and overcome those fears and see as a church, like, how can we help you in this area to be able to make a life decision? And that's what we want to do. And the church isn't just focused on just the pregnancy. The church can walk alongside her whole life if she'll allow it.
Yeah, and I love how you say, it just really made me stop and think, because I worked at a crisis pregnancy center years ago. I loved it. It was volunteer. We had the smallest budget I've ever heard of that could still keep the lights on. But you're not just pro-life, you're pro-love. And so I just kind of want you to talk about that, because that's the bottom line. When we are in fear, we can believe things that aren't true and feel things that are not right. We can.
Yeah.
And fear overtakes us. How can we, as the body of Christ, as moms, just get up every day and just be more pro-love with our sisters who are struggling?
Yeah, I mean, I always say being pro-life, that's a stance. Maybe it's a vote, but being pro-love is an action.
Yeah.
And it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance, and it's love that changes lives. You know, we can talk about what we believe until we're blue in the face, but without love, we're just a clanging cymbal. And so we want to be the hands and feet, and we want to make abortion unthinkable because of all the amazing resources that are out there. There are over 300,000 churches in America. And if all of us, and we are the church, you know, there are buildings of church, but like we are the church everywhere we go. And right. if we're all stepping in and asking God, what do I have to offer? What do I have? What gifts, strengths, passions? Maybe it's connected to someone's story. What makes you pound your fist on the table and say, someone needs to do something yeah. about this?
Yeah.
Usually that's something that God is stirring your heart to do, and that you don't have to wait on someone else to step up and do it, but do what you can with what you have, even if it's just one person that you're helping and empowering, a single mom. Because if she understood all of the resources that are out there, I know I didn't even know there was a pro-life movement before my 30s. Like I didn't even know what a pregnancy center was, and we went straight to the abortion clinic. But it wasn't until my 30s when I went to a pro-life conference and saw all of these amazing resources and vendors and boots on the ground organizations that are really helping women. I was shocked. I thought it was the people that stand outside abortion clinics and scream, you know, at the girls, because that's what the media likes to project, that mm-hmm. that's what pro-life means, when that's not. Like, there is love and there is action, and that we all have a part to play in this, and it's all can be unique. You know, I wish saving a baby is like A plus B equals baby saved.
Yeah, right.
It's not like that. It's very Holy Spirit led and very just not cookie cutter. It's very unique to every girl's situation of how can we help her. And so it involves all of us, even my husband. He helps a single mom with her finances and shows her how to budget a checkbook. And, you know, we all, because he loves financial stuff, and that's something that he gets excited about. And so just really digging in, you know, to see what can we offer? What are we excited about and love to do? Because God put that in us in order to be able to help women or men or children or whatever that might look like.
Well, you know, we talk a lot on this podcast about foster care and adoption and just the suffering of children in our world, and how it's the desire of the Lord's heart that all children are placed in families. The A win is when a child is reunified with their biological family and they can stay with them. And this has taken a different turn today. And it's actually a ministry I started in first before I even adopted. I was working at a local crisis pregnancy center. And so you made a statement, and it is so incredibly true, because it was so hard for us to get at this little center in the Midwest. It was so hard for us to get the support. But you say that if abortion became illegal today, the church isn't ready to help women practically, spiritually, and emotionally. Mm-hmm. Amy, how do we get ready? How do we turn the tide on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a loaded question there, but I know that the first thing I think is even just pastors talking about it. You know, we don't have to do a whole sermon of abortion is wrong. And, you know, this is how can we help and empower and equip? Embrace Grace is a first place, is a great place to start. Also, supporting local pregnancy centers is huge. Like, having the church be able to pour, just like how you were saying, you barely, you know, you had the tiniest budget ever, and a lot of pregnancy centers run that way. And if they could help support the pregnancy centers more, they would be able to be open more hours and all of that. And I love Tony Evans is one of my favorite pastors.
Oh, agreed.
He's amazing. And he says that the pregnancy centers are the first response
yes.
team and the church is the hospital. And I just love that, because if we can really link arms in our community, we can make a huge difference. And then just not even for the birth, but even for a whole life, because it's welcoming them into a spiritual family and doing life together. And like you were saying before, it's like if Roe v. Wade did get overturned and abortion became illegal, like, we can't just say as a church, well, good luck, you know,
right.
hope it works out for you.
Right.
When meanwhile, this girl can't afford the child, you know, a daycare for the one she already has, and now she's going to end up homeless, or, you know, who knows what kind of situations each girl is in. We have to be able to put action behind our beliefs and be the church and welcome them in and just being a support system to to help her along the way. And again, it's very unique to every situation, but even having an Embrace Grace group, which is a 12-week support group for women with unplanned pregnancies that happen within the churches, that's at least a first step and her first foot into the door to even try church. There's so many times when I invite a girl to church that's pregnant, I actually look for them all the time, you know, but God show brings them to me everywhere. I met them at one at a hotel last week. And God brings them all the time. And so but when I tell, hey, do you want to try church with me? They kind of look at me like, are there strings attached? I don't, like, you know that I'm pregnant and I'm not married. And so it's kind of not in their mindset to want to go for the first time. But if we can help her get in the door that first class or that first, you know, service on the weekend, she can see that the church is full of love. Because as a church, we can't be so focused on behavior modification. We have to be focused on a heart transformation, because that's where the true life-changing transformation happens. We don't have to fix all her problems, but we can point her to the one that does and introduce her to Jesus, so that legacy and generations change and there's true transformation. And as the church, we can have a role in doing that. We just kind of have to starting by, you know, supporting pregnancy centers, starting Embrace Grace groups, also starting abortion healing groups, and helping these women that are not talking about many, you know, one in four have experienced an abortion, and the abortion rate is exactly the same inside the church as it is outside. If we can help her be able to heal, then she goes and goes and helps someone else heal, because Revelation 12:11 says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Yes.
So if she can go help and, you know, help some another mom and be that person that she wished she had years ago in her life when she made her abortion decision, she can help save more lives and helping foster families. Help, and even Embrace Grace, we believe that that is helping kids stay out, or like to not have to go into the foster care system, so that we can empower these moms to get her the resources and helping her emotionally heal, so she doesn't keep going down paths that is not healthy for her, and trying to help them not go into the system and keeping her focused on Jesus.
Yeah, it's the same concept as the wraparound care we do for our foster families, for those who newly adopt, or supporting orphanages overseas, or, you know, group homes here in the U.S. It's the same picture of wraparound care. And I love in the book how you talk about the shame culture. And so I have found, I was a pastor's wife for 25 years, and now we're with the North American Mission Board, so we're church planters, and then we do compassion ministry here at the board. But you know, shame culture, we can go into a church and we can have the mindset, as you were talking about, like, oh, my church will never jump into that. They'll never buy into that. You know, they have a different mindset. They would just look down on this person. But what I found worked, and it's just like you said, step forward. Be one person who steps forward and does one thing. For instance, we're going to help this mom, one of the birth moms that we lived on that carried our granddaughter. She was in a really, really hard spot, but she needed just practical help and care. And I'm talking clothing. I'm talking a warm shower. I'm talking a hot meal. Like, just say, here's what we're going to do. And just, you know, by our actions, by choosing to love others and take action and take steps, like you said, we can drown out, or we can just, you know, kind of make them kind of mute those voices that are wanting to shame these young moms.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, whenever I do meet churches that are like, oh, we could never do that, I just invite them to read The Prodigal Son.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think about, like, he went off and was with prostitutes and spent all his dad's money and didn't have anything left. And I love in the story where it says, and while he was a long way off, the father ran to him, and he had his servants put a robe on his back and a ring on his finger. And he said, son, I'm so glad that you're home. You were lost and now you're found. And, you know, a lot of these girls, they are a long way off.
Yeah.
But we as the church can be like the brother, you know, that didn't really want to throw his brother a party. But the dad was like, let's throw him a party, like kill the fatted calf. Let's have a feast because our brother is home. And even if they're a long way off, if they've turned and they're being able to experience the love of Jesus that they have never experienced before. We have baby showers all over the nation, and we've had women that have surrendered their life to Jesus the day or the night of the baby shower because they're so overwhelmed by God's people, like meeting practical needs, that they feel the love of Jesus through that. And Embrace Grace is also for birth moms. And so instead of a baby shower after they place their baby for adoption, we throw them a big celebration of life shower, and we love on them, and that buy, you know, whatever practical they need. We've had some girl that wanted to be a photographer, so we put all our money together and bought her amazing equipment. Or one girl was in hair school, and hair tools are really expensive, and so we got her hair tools. And then on top of that, people just come from all over and buy her new clothes. She wants to burn all her maternity clothes and have a fresh start. And just, it's almost like a birthday party or celebration of like, you just sacrificed your body for 9 months to save your baby's life. Like, that is so amazing, and such an amazing, beautiful gift that you just gifted a family, you know, that you placed your baby for adoption. And so we want to honor her and just have a moment where she can feel so loved. And it's a time that she will never forget. Even if she goes off and makes poor decisions in her future, she will never forget the seeds that were planted during that day or season that she was connected to the church. And it's awesome to see that sometimes even a year, two, 3 years later, if we didn't see the transformation happen then, a lot of times we see those seeds blooming later, and she does come back to Jesus. And so it's just a great opportunity to share the love of Jesus in extravagant ways.
Wow, that is, yeah, and especially those who are, you know, they were trying to move forward in life, or like you said, starting their mm-hmm. careers, and they just feel like it's all going to crumble. But when we can come alongside them, say, no, we can help you still stay, you know, still have your dream, still move mm-hmm. forward. That's a game changer in life. I mean,
yeah,
that changes
sure.
everything about it. What are some of the challenges in working with maybe the younger mom, like teen moms?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's hard because sometimes it's like their mind can't fully grasp how their life is about to change. There was one mom just the other day I was talking to that's 16, and I'm good friends with her mom. And I'm like, how are you feeling? What's on your mind? Like, are you scared? And she's like, well, I'm really scared about giving birth.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, you know, and I get that she's young, but it's like, she can't even wrap her brain around how her life is completely and radically
yeah.
about to change. And so sometimes it takes a little longer when we do Embrace Grace for teens, and when we have Embrace Grace also 20s and 30s, any woman with an unplanned pregnancy. And so we definitely can see, for the most part, not all the time, but the ones that are in their 20s can grasp the gospel and grace and all of that a little faster than the teens do. They're more focused still sometimes on like a guy, you know,
yeah.
that didn't text me back or whatever. And we're like, you're about to have a baby. Like,
yeah.
there's things about to happen. So it's just that continual, not discouraging her, because we don't want to be like, you know, this is a horrible season that you're about to step into, but it's definitely yeah. going to be a life changing season. And so let's prepare for that. And so it's just kind of a different way that we talk to them and help them. And especially if they don't have family support, that's really where it gets hard with their teen, if they're under 18, especially to be able to help them, but yet also not to step over any kind of boundaries, because they are still in their parents' care and all of that. But God will use anything and anyone to change and to help her. So we just, like I said earlier, it's a Holy Spirit led journey as we walk alongside these moms.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just giving, you know, it's kind of leading from behind. You know, it's like, we're giving our family, or I'm going to give my days, my times to help this one, you know,
mm-hmm.
support her. And it's getting our agendas just kind of out of the way so that the Lord can use us. So, it's inconvenient. It'll cost you money, but my goodness, the mm-hmm. rewards are amazing to be able to pour. And like you said, you may not see the fruit right, you know, immediately. It may be years, but man, I do believe the Lord uses that, the love of his people, to speak into the hearts of those who are struggling. And it may take time. It may take seasons before we see
mm-hmm.
that happen. Just like you said, the prodigal son, he had to kind of come back, you know, on his
mm-hmm.
own. What makes gals more hesitant, or couples, you know, in this time, what makes them more hesitant to choose adoption as an alternative to abortion?
Well, it's kind of funny because if I'm talking to a girl and I hear a lot of times say, well, either I'm going to parent or I'm going to have this abortion.
Yeah.
And so I'll bring up adoption, you know, as an alternative. And so many times they'll say, well, no, that just I'm not going to do that. And so then a lot of times I'll ask them why. Well, why do you say that? And almost every time they'll say, well, I don't know. That just seems weird. Like, I don't like, what if I just walk into my baby someday? Like, all right, just
yeah.
like I'm walking around the world and I just run into them. It's just weird to think that I have a kid somewhere out there. And what I kind of feel like I've really prayed about this a lot, and thinking about 20 and 30 years ago, when women placed their babies for adoption, a lot of times there was a lot more shame around that than it was now. Like, back then you were sent away, and
yeah,
I've had someone say that your name changed. No one knew where you went. You just went to an aunt's house, but really you were at a maternity home in another state. And there was a lot of shame and privacy and secrecy around that. When now, you know, those women have gone on to maybe have children that they raised and grandchildren, and there's always been the secret in the family. It's like, no one really now can articulate, well, I don't know why, it just seems kind of weird. And so it's like that shame has been passed down, but no one really is bringing it to the light. And so I love organizations like Brave Girl, I think it's called, where they're really just making birth moms more of like a hero. Like, the fact that you find out you're pregnant and you choose life and you are choosing to place your baby for adoption, like, that is a very brave decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me think of Moses's mom, you know, when she had to place Moses in the basket, and
yeah.
what she must have felt, like, what kind of courage to think, you know, this is what's best for my baby, but I hope he's going to be okay. And then look what Moses went off to do. You know, he set people free, and it's amazing. It's such a courageous decision to do that. And so I think it's just about changing the narrative. So what we do in Embrace Grace is, if we have a mom that maybe is thinking about it, or maybe she's thinking about abortion strongly, is we have a birth mom that has placed before, maybe a year or two before, and have her come and just like share her story. And it kind of opens the, because a lot of birth moms don't talk about their story, or it's hard for birth moms to find other birth moms, you know, that have gone through. So bringing her in and to share her story about it, the ugly part, because it's hard. It's not like this easy thing for sure, but the ugly parts, the amazing parts, the sweet parts, and the parts of why she still feels confident she made the right decision. Having her come, that really opens up for not only for the one that is thinking about placing her baby for adoption, and that may confirm, but also the other women in the room that are choosing to parent. A lot of times they will say, well, I just don't understand why you're just going to give your baby away. Like, it makes them understand a little differently, like, whoa, like, this is amazing that she did this. And so it's changing the conversation around this issue to help women understand that this is such a brave and selfless choice to make.
Oh, yeah. So I just encourage everyone to, your book just released, Help Her Be Brave. Just, it'll really help you kind of find your place in the pro-life movement. And you know, it's just a practical, you just give such practical ways to get involved, Amy, and I appreciate that. I'm a very practical person, boots on the ground kind of gal. And so, and how to find, you know, how to, like you said, the Lord's always bringing young pregnant gals into your life who need help. And so, Lord, how can you use us in that? How can we begin to see those gals who need help, those couples? And just how to use what resources the Lord is given your family or you, what He's put in your hands, to be able to use to help gals who find themselves afraid and pregnant, and just, they don't want to be shamed. They want to be loved. And so, and they're not going to ask for that. You know, we've got to figure that out and go where they are. And so that's what I love about Help Her Be Brave. Well, one more thing. I just want our churches, and those in leadership listening, I just want our churches to be a refuge for people, for abortion vulnerable women, or for women who are contemplating adoption, or for those who have found themselves pregnant and haven't even told anyone yet. How can Embrace Grace really help our churches jumpstart this ministry?
Yeah, so just go to embracegrace.com and you can get information on how to start a group at your church. Think about women in your church that maybe have experienced an abortion or maybe they're just passionate about life. We give all the curriculum, the tools, the training, and it's all virtual training. So, and there's no membership fees or subscription fees or anything like that. We just want to help equip the churches to be able to be a refuge and a safe place for any woman experiencing an unplanned pregnancy. And so helping these churches partner with their pregnancy centers so that they can refer the girls that come to the pregnancy center to the church, and also just word of mouth in our community. There's so many women in our communities that are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy, and using the church as kind of boots on the ground, the networking part, to say, you know, you're welcome here and we want to throw you a baby shower and we want to love on you and we want to disciple you and we want to help you get back on your feet. And the word gets out and these girls come and their lives radically change. And so I just encourage anyone that's listening to help get started. If you don't feel like you're the one to start an Embrace Grace group at your church, think about people that might would be passionate about it. And if you just go to our website, embracegrace.com, fill out the little information about wanting information about starting a group, a starter guide gets emailed to you immediately. And it shows you all the ways of how you can get started.
Oh, Amy, thank you so much. This has been, I've learned volumes today and I'm so excited about, I really am. I'm just so encouraged to get this tool in the hands of our churches, of our little, you know, our gal community groups that may meet on Tuesday mornings, or I meet with my community in my neighborhood on Friday mornings. We're studying the book of John, to just get this resource in the right hands. And I'm just grateful to you for being transparent and taking the time to write it and to just equip the church to be ready in this calling, to just, you know, have our game together and be ready to meet these needs. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, every life is precious and known by God and loved beyond measure. And just as you've heard Amy share today, and when our lives are merged with a young pregnant woman who is, think about it, overwhelmed, afraid she's going to lose her loved ones, afraid of where her resources are, you know, how am I going to do this? Am I going to be homeless? All the things Amy shared. Let's follow Amy's wisdom and help her be brave. And let's surround these precious ones and their children in Christ's relentless, faithful love. Thank you, Amy. Thank you for sharing with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.